Welcome to The Astrology Show with your host, Kelly Fox. Each week, Kelly will give you access to the current transits that are a valuable tool which provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has through our sun sign. Understanding the current planetary influences each week can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. Sometimes, events in your life may seem completely random, but there is a pattern to the order of these events, one set in motion in part by you and in part by the planets and stars in the sky and their influence on your life here on Earth. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, if you're going to get that promotion, move to a new city, or fall in love, tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance. It can help you anticipate problems before they occur, give you tools to cope with changes, and help you look forward to the wonderful days ahead. Kelly Fox is a professional astrologer and internet pioneer who launched astrology.com, one of the first and most successful astrology websites. Today, her passion lies with her new site, TheAstrologer.com, where she brings a modern-day approach to an ancient wisdom. Please join Kelly each week to learn more about how the planets can align for you.
Hi there, and welcome to The Astrology Show. I am your host and astrologer, Kelly Fox, and tonight I have a very special guest. This show is different than usual because I am fortunate enough to have Dr. Laura Tadd join me tonight, and we are going to be talking about many things, and one of them is about her book. So she currently has an e-book on her website, which I will talk about in just a minute. But Dr. Laura Tadd is a very highly regarded astrologer in the astrological world. She is a social scientist and has found that her astrological perspective is unparalleled when it comes to helping us heal from the past, which is very important for many of us. And, you know, that planet that we have known as Saturn, Lord of Karma, we blame everything on Saturn or Mercury retrograde, one or the other. And Dr. Laura Tadd has, she has written this book, helps us heal from the past, access our potential, to help us lead deeply fulfilling lives. And it is with compassion and humor that Laura provides insight and tools to help her clients actualize their greatest potential, which is what astrology is absolutely wonderful for. If you have not had an astrology reading, I urge you to do so, not just with myself or Laura, but any accredited professional astrologer out there. But on the whole, her work does focus more on healing and personal growth than on prediction. And that's really important here in the Western Hemisphere because astrologers here, we do focus on healing and personal growth more than, you know, what's going to happen next week and so on. And what are my lucky numbers to win the lotto, et cetera. So Laura is an internationally known astrologer, and she works in a consulting capacity with people all over the world. And she teaches and lectures on the value of astrology. And she does this in person and also via webinars. And in addition to her blogs, her written work can also be found in the Mountain Astrologer magazine, which is a very popular magazine in the astrological world. And she is an active member of the astrology community, and she has also sat on boards of regional and international astrology organizations. And currently she is writing a book on astrology as a tool for parenting, and this is why I have asked her on the show tonight. And Laura can be contacted, and I'll give her contact information at the end of the show, but you can reach her at mythicsky.com and her email laura@mythicsky.com. Now, I'm fascinated with her book. her ebook, Stellar Parenting, Enriching the Parent and Child Relationship, which you can get on her website, mythicsky.com. So, as I said, it's the book is Enriching the Parent and Child Relationship, and so Laura is highly renowned and an expert in this area, and I would like to welcome Laura on the show after that big, long introduction. Welcome, Laura, and hello. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on, Kelly. It's an honor to be on your show. I know I've known you in sort of different capacities over the years, so it's lovely to be on the show today.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for making the time to come onto the show, and I can't wait to hear more about your book and your views about astrology and the work that you've been doing. Can you tell me, first of all, I think, you know what I think we should do on the show is take a step back, and instead of just launching straight into the middle of it, I want to know how you got into astrology in the very beginning and what got you from there to here, and then about the book. I'm absolutely fascinated with that. So can you tell me a bit more about that? Your very beginning.
Yeah. So the very beginning, you know, my parents were part of the counterculture hippie movement in the United States, right? So in a lot of ways, some of the language was around my entire life. I don't ever remember not knowing that I have a Sagittarius rising like my dad. Like I've always known that long before I was working as an astrologer. And I'm the eldest of five, and I'm the only one who had their chart hung above their crib as an infant. So I think to some degree I absorbed it, you know, through osmosis as an infant.
That's funny. And so to interrupt, but your parents, I think I recall you telling me once that they're both psychics. Is that correct?
They are. Yes. Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, so I grew up in that world. My mom has a couple books out as well.
Oh, what are they called?
And so she has a book called Death and Letting Go. She has a book that looks at a lot, you know, dealing with grief and the idea of reincarnation and her life story of how she got started, which was linked to the fact that my grandmother came back to my mom after she died. She died when my mom was a teenager. And the work, how my mom's work developed coming out of that experience.
Wow.
Yeah. And her second book is called The Wisdom of the Chakras, Tools for Navigating the Complexities of Life. And her most recent book that just came out a little over a year ago is called The Infinite View. And they're all on Amazon and other, you know, Barnes & Noble, anywhere you can sort of order books online. And The Infinite View is in some bookstores around the country because it was published, you know, through Tarcher. So it's a big enough publishing house that it sort of is out in bookshops around the country.
Please, please tell us your mom's name.
Ellen Tad is my mom's name.
Ellen
so her
Tad.
Website
okay.
yep. is just ellentad.com.
Oh, easy. Great. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Ellentad.com. I'm going to take a look at that. Those topics really fascinate me. And just, I mean, I know I'm getting off track here. I will get back on the track, but I've always been fascinated, you know, with your mum and dad being psychics and from that realm.
Yes.
And then how, you know, you have the lineage. So you sort of come into it with astrology. But do you know just by chance the transits that your mum was having when her mother passed away?
I sort of threw
a wrench in the works here.
Yeah.
But I was just curious because, you know, the topic of grief and death and I guess transformation, very Plutonian.
Plutonian, for sure.
Yes. And then in some ways,
My grandmother died of multiple sclerosis. So she was ill for a very, very long time. So she died when my mom was 17, but she was diagnosed when my mom was 2. So in terms of, you know, there may have been a transit when my grandmother actually transitioned, but I think because it was not an acute event, it might not be as clear astrologically.
Yes, okay. And sorry to get off track there.
No,
throw that out of left field at you. But yeah, please continue. But your mum's books sound as fascinating as yours.
Yes, they're all very interesting. So the most recent book really looks at the teaching she's done over the last, 40 some years that she's been a meditation teacher and working as a counselor, and so how her work is developed in her. Yeah. So that's the most recent book, and it has a lot of exercises in it.
Okay. Oh, fantastic.
But so for me, so I was always around the metaphysical woo-woo world, always.
The woo-woo world. That's funny. Yes.
And definitely there was a period as a teenager that I think most teenagers go through when you're trying to individuate from your parents.
Right.
I tried to disavow a lot of that because it was their world and I wanted to be my own person. Mm-hmm. But I did circle back around. And when I was in my mid-20s, which is interesting, when I did my doctoral research and I interviewed you, Kelly, actually, as one of the people that I spoke to,
there was
this pattern of people sort of coming to astrology in their mid-20s. It was like, right? Or like after the second Jupiter return. Really interesting.
Yes. Which is 23 and a half, typically,
for
everyone else out there. Yes.
That I was in college. I had dropped out of college and went back, so I was sort of a little older when I was finishing undergraduate. And there was I went to finish college in Santa Barbara, California, and there was a women's group that was using a therapist who was using astrology to help frame what was going on in the lives of the women in the group. It was all sort of through the lens of astrology was this women's support group. Mm. And I just got bit by the bug, like the acting bug. It's the only way I know how to describe it. And I became passionately involved in studying, and I finagled making it an independent study and got college credit for studying with the therapist that was running the women's group, and did a year and a half training with her and got college credit for it.
Wait a second. Let me just clarify what you just said. You got college credit for studying astrology. Is that correct?
I made it an independent. Yes, I made an independent study out of it. Even though at the time, and I've looked, they've since changed it, but at the time, in the student handbook, the one example of what you could not do an independent study on was astrology.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if they changed it. They don't think they changed it because of me. Maybe eventually they did, but I named the independent study Symbolic Systems in Psychology. And got away, but all I did was study astrology. I was studying it with somebody who was a therapist and a PhD, so she was qualified to be teaching at an accredited institution. She taught at another school as a therapist. So I sort of was able to finagle and circumvent the rules and get college credit for my initial sort of 6 months of studying astrology.
So the detail of the thesis, or the detail of what you wrote, did it use astrological terminology?
I did. Well, because
I
had to turn it into the instructor that I was working with and not the school.
Oh, got it. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I had it was neat. And then I ended up doing a whole year and a half training with her afterwards that wasn't under my independent study. It really was much, much more in depth than, doing it from this point where I could then, interpret charts as opposed to it being more experiential. And I was using Dimitra George's workbook. It's basically sort of you fill in the blanks of like, my son in Cancer is in a water in blank water sign, which, and then you put, it's sort of like, I think of it as like an elementary school workbook.
That's by Dimitra George, you said?
Yeah.
Now, as soon as you said Dimitra George, I'm looking at her book on my bookshelf right now, which is The Asteroid Goddesses. So I didn't realize, because in my mind she specializes, she's like the goddess, the asteroid goddess queen. And so I didn't realize that she had those workbooks.
Yeah, so she has this one. I think it may even predate her Asteroid Goddess book, though I have a newer copy of the Asteroid Goddess. I'm not sure if the original copy right.
Okay.
But yeah, so it's great for anybody who's wanting to sort of is really green and wants to learn. It's a really great sort of methodical, like, you fill in the blanks. My son is in blank, and, you know, which sign and which element, and then what qualities, lower, you know, positive and challenging adjectives are attributed to that sign for each planet.
Okay.
And then you place it in each house and you just sort of build on it.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah. So that was the primary resource that we used when I got college credit for it, because it was more experiential to learn about myself.
Right.
And then I did the year and a half training where it was really much, much more in depth than learning the nuts and bolts of interpretation.
Right. Okay. And I was just thinking the workbooks, I'm thinking years and years ago, I don't want to date myself here, but a long time ago, that the workbooks that were really all the talk were by Marion March and Joan.
Sure. McKibben. Yep.
So as soon as you said work
series or something.
Yes. As soon as you said workbook, my mind immediately went to those really great books that they produced and put out there. So, yeah, I know there's been others that have done that, but, like, they really sort of float to the top, these well-known astrologer authors.
Yeah, for sure. Sorry, go ahead. Oh, yes.
Go ahead.
And so that's really how that all started. And then I was studying psychology at the time as well.
Right. Okay.
And that's sort of what led to wanting to look at the parent and child piece. Was I was studying psychology from the vein of psychology that's called family systems theory, where you're really looking at, it's an approach to psychology where you're looking at things systemically. You're looking at their interconnection. And
right.
So in family systems theory, there's this idea of, well, everything's interconnected, right? So if you're working with an individual, they're best understood and therefore helped within the context of the relationships and interactions with their family unit. And that can be family of origin as well as families we create as adults.
Oh, we're going to take a break, but I had a really good comment on that. So everyone, stay tuned and we will be back.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, this is John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting, here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. You know, style is a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody's business. So please, plan ahead, Designate before you celebrate. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi there, welcome back to The Astrology Show. I am your host and astrologer, Kelly Fox. And on tonight's show, I am interviewing Dr. Laura Tadd, who is an internationally respected author and astrologer. And just before the break, Laura was telling me about her studies with psychology and astrology, which was very fascinating. And I wanted to ask you, but then I heard the break music come on. You'd mentioned something about family systems therapy. Hopefully that's correct.
Yes.
And
yes.
What, how you were describing it sounds very much like astrology. Like
absolutely.
Okay. So I was on track there, but I was going to say to you, can you tell me like how that applies to astrology? Because the
sure.
family dynamic. Yeah. Yeah. Can you tell us a
yeah,
bit more about
well,
that?
So that was what really got me passionate about looking at astrology and the parent-child dynamic was that I was doing this research and study around family systems. And there's this one family systems theorist, she's no longer alive, but I found two quotes of hers that I was like, that is exactly what astrology is. And so Virginia Satir said, it is clear to me now that the family is the microcosm of the world. To understand the world, we must study the family.
Wow.
And that's this as above, so below that we're always yeah. talking about with astrology, that the sky is telling the macro story of what's happening in the micro level on Earth.
Right.
And so what was particularly fascinating to me with this, what was this moment of aha, was I was at a conference about called the Child Spirit Conference that IONS was putting on, that just sort of north in the North Bay in San Francisco, the Institute of Noetic Sciences.
Oh yes, yes.
And wasn't on astrology, but I had this aha moment that our charts are the transits our parents were under when we were born.
Yes. Yes, now that's fascinating. When that moment clicks, when that moment clicks in your head, yeah, everything sort of falls into place.
Yes, and it's just, it was this, of course, and oh my God, at the same time.
Yes.
Because, yes, the transits that were, that are synastry, right? So when we compare two charts together, that's the way that two people, it is indicative of how the two people relate to each other. But
right.
because each chart is a locked moment in time, mm-hmm. then these transits are locked in time.
Right.
And so, yes, there's the interpersonal relationship between parents and that is expressed in children, that it's expressed in the synastry, but it re-kicks the transit from a karmic perspective. And that we are, or our children are surrogates that bring in that transit from a karmic perspective, that work that the parent, that the individual needs to do the child facilitates bringing in that transit. Is that making sense?
Yes, I'm trying not to laugh because, yes, you know, my daughter, her Pluto is on my moon. So it's like, oh, cringing and laughing at the same time.
Yeah. So, well, yeah. On one level, that's part of how you relate to each other is, yeah, that's an intense mother-daughter relationship, and she's a teenager now, right?
So, absolutely. And a double Scorpio on top of it.
Yeah. And so that's an intense relationship, and you, at a karmic level, have apparently some big Pluto moon work to do.
Oh,
that she is the surrogate for.
Yes.
That's separate
yes.
from your relationship with her.
Yes. I remember the day she was born and I looked at her chart and I had to keep looking at it like all day thinking, am I looking at this right? Or do I have like or, you know, some sort of, I must be missing something, or am I reading into this too much? Yes, because she was actually, she also has Saturn opposite the Pluto. Just to add to the mix there. So, yes, yes. It's fascinating because I'm applying it, obviously, everything you're saying.
Sure.
And the family dynamic is just, I say to people, you know, when I do family charts, there's a family resemblance as well. So I'm relating it back to that too.
Sure. I mean, that's definitely one of the other things that I've found is the patterns that show up in family.
Oh, it's fascinating. Yes.
It's fascinating. In psychology, there's a way of doing it that's called a genogram that Jung did a lot of work with, where it's sort of like a family tree, but you plot in personality traits and similar communication patterns, but you can plot in astrology just as easily. And, and see, you know, generationally, you know, I've got, when I spoke at UAC, the United Astrology Conference in May in Chicago, I had a family where I've got three generations of a family, and there is not a single Earth sun in three generations and 21 people. Not
what?
One Earth sun.
Really?
Everybody, there's a little bit of air, almost entirely fire and water in with 21 people. Right?
Wow.
So you get these patterns that show up, and then it's like, okay, well, what's the family karma? What's this piece around a lack of earth that shows up over and over and over again?
Right.
And with, at least with the sun. And then when it shows up in other ways, and what it, or if there's the outlier, right? And then suddenly, okay, you've got 21 people with not a single earth sun, and then one earth sun is born, and that, what are they bringing in for the rest of the family that the family is needing to learn, that
I was going to say, and it's like if there was an earth baby born into this fire water family, then the earth baby in some ways is the teacher, but also the bringer of karma. And I'm using Earth now as a grounding force within the dynamic of the family. And does that mean that the family then sort of, in other words, they're turning a corner or they're going in a new direction because here's this sort of alien coming into So teaching them a new language, in other words.
Yeah, absolutely. And bringing in that as an opportunity karmically for there to be a shift that happens. And then, you know, one of the challenges with astrology is that while it tells us a lot, it doesn't tell us the context in which this person's living, right? It doesn't tell us gender. It doesn't tell us sex.
Right.
It doesn't tell us sexual orientation. It doesn't tell us, other than we're using longitude and latitude to cast the chart, it doesn't tell us really where in the world the person was raised and how that culture may or have impacted how that chart's lived out.
And that's like nature versus nurture is what you mean.
Yeah. So like one of the examples I've given clients sometimes is like in my more immediate family, you know, we're all fire and water with my parents and my siblings and I, except for my baby brother who's an Aquarius. So in addition to being like the only non-fire or water sun sign, he's also an Aquarius, so he's by nature unusual and unique. And but he's also the black sheep of the family astrologically. Even if it wasn't Aquarius, he could have been a Gemini and it would still be the black sheep of the family.
Right.
And fortunately, he was born into a family where we've embraced that uniqueness.
Right.
Where we're like, okay, yeah, go be your unique, unusual self. We're all for that. That isn't always the case for the black sheep.
Right. Yes.
Right. The black sheep sometimes can be shunned, or they try to mold the black sheep to fit the family normative model. And so there is that added complexity, right? That how are people living out the charts they were born with?
Right. I was just thinking with regards to your family, you said they were the woo-woo something in the beginning. And so I'm thinking, does that mean that your little brother was more conservative than the liberal?
Yeah,
the liberal?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, with my siblings, so I'm an astrologer. I have a brother who is a Taoist scholar living in Beijing.
Wow.
A brother who is a pre-colonial Andean archaeologist. He's currently in Chile.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
My sister's a composer.
Oh.
Living on this, busking on the streets of Paris. And then the Aquarian designed shoes for Adidas.
Oh, geez. That is fascinating. Really interesting.
Right? So he's...
Yeah.
The black sheep. He's the only one with a corporate job. He'll probably be the only one who ever has a corporate job. And fortunately, his uniqueness was allowed to thrive, and that was supported.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, and so that's part of why I love working with parents and looking at their dynamic with children and looking at children's charts is really helping parents to understand the uniqueness of their child and how each child needs to be parented slightly differently. They're not in the degree of which, like psychologists would call differential parenting, which is, when you favor one child and there's the, star child and the problem child, you don't want to do that, obviously.
Right.
But, I have a client whose son, her child, male child, son, he has a Mercury in Taurus conjunct his son, and he was failing in school because he wasn't getting his homework in on time, not because it was wrong. And it was just these nightly battles to get him to sit down and do his homework. And in speaking with him, I looked at this chart. He's got this Mercury, so God of communication in Taurus, pretty close. It's a little wide, but close to his son. Mm-hmm. Which is also in Taurus, in this 90-degree angle, right, this square to Mars.
Oh, geez.
In Aquarius.
Oh, no.
And within, it's 30 minutes of an exact square. and so when I worked with her, I said, well, where is he doing his homework? And she's like, well, in the kitchen while I'm making dinner. I'm like, that doesn't work for this kid. He's way too distracted by his physical environment.
Yes.
And to focus in that environment, that could totally work for some kids. I need ambient noise to focus, not this child. And I said, he needs to create a space that feels pretty to him, comfortable to him as that Taurian energy, that the aesthetic environment was impacting his ability to focus. And, and had to reiterate to her, to the mom who's got a Libra son, that it couldn't be her aesthetic. Couldn't be what she thought was pretty. That it had to be what he thought was pretty. And if it wasn't her color scheme, it's in his room. She doesn't have to look at it. And it turned out he found the whole project really fun, and they went to Target or something, and he got to pick out sort of new decor for his bedroom and make a little space that was just for studying, and found it really fun and engaging. And, she relayed to me that, in part, it meant they weren't fighting over him getting his homework done every night, so it just made home life more enjoyable. And his grades quickly went up. And that it would be where he would sit to read for pleasure, because it's a place he liked to be. It felt good to that Taurian who wanted beauty. And
comfort, yes.
And comfort.
And also Mercury in Taurus is not very well placed. So that child might need a little bit more time to sort of process the information as well.
Yeah,
so, yes.
Absolutely. I found with Mercury in Taurus, it's not in any way that's sort of cognitively delayed, but it does often take them longer to get things. But then once they have them, they do not forget. It's because they're absorbing it at this multisensory level, right? They're taking information in at all of their senses, so it takes longer to absorb all of that.
Yes.
But then it's accessible in a multisensory way. It's understood.
Absolutely. And the other thing is parenting nowadays is very different to, you know, like growing up back, you know, back in the day when we were kids. So it's a different world, you know. We didn't have cell phones and the internet, and so the world in some ways is sped up. And some parents I have noticed, not me, of course, but some parents come from parenting from their own upbringing, which can be helpful.
Absolutely.
It can not be helpful. It'll just depend as well on, you know, the generational differences and similarities.
Absolutely, yeah, and how aware the parent may be of the need to do things really differently, because we are in a different world where there's so much technology, and how it's both really critical in a lot of ways. We live in a world where if you're not computer literate, it's pretty impossible to have a job, and yet not wanting your kids to look at a screen all day.
Yeah, and, it's really tough. It's very tough.
Yeah. And navigating that and where that balance is and how technology is helpful in learning and a tool, and where it limits our ability to sort of think critically, right, and think outside the box, because we're so focused in this, you know, we lose our peripheral vision if we're looking at a screen all the time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've seen a lot of studies on it, and it actually, you know, can cause some depression because, you know, the child is isolated rather than, you know, being out there with friends and riding your bicycles and then coming home later. I mean, you know, there's flip sides to every story, really.
Sure. Absolutely.
But yes.
Yeah. What was your question?
I was just going to say, can you tell me a bit more about what else is in your ebook, Stellar Parenting? What does it cover? What other things?
Yeah, so some of it is looking at individual children's charts and how that's helpful is definitely part of it. And then when you have multiple children, right, how you may have to parent each child differently. This is the example with the family with the boy with the Mercury in Taurus. He's an only child. But, you know, if he had a sibling with a Mercury in Gemini, like I do, I need ambient noise or I can't focus. So you would have to approach study habits really differently with each child and really recognize the uniqueness of each kid and how... We all come in with different skill sets. We all come in with different strengths and weaknesses, and there's no cookie cutter way to parent each child. And so that's definitely a piece of it. And then also really looking, so some of the other stuff is looking at transits with parents when kids are in crisis. Or having a hard time, and being able to give a timeline for that. I mean, that's to me some of the most, particularly with hard transits.
Right. Yeah. And on that note, I think we will take a break.
Sure.
So we will continue after the break. So stay tuned.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go? Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
This is a test to find out if you know it all when it comes to children. Name one of the leading killers of U.S. children age 1 to 13. What's the best way to protect children in a car crash? At what age and size should a child start using a booster seat?
Don't assume you know it all when it comes to car seats for your child. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat and know for sure. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hi there, and welcome back to the Astrology Show. I am your host and astrologer, Kelly Fox, and I am talking to Dr. Laura Tadd on my show tonight. And in particular, she has written an ebook, Stellar Parenting, Enriching the Parent and Child Relationship. And she's developing that more so because it's been so popular. And you can access that book on her website, mythicsky.com. So, Laura, just before the break, you were about to say something really interesting about, was it the outer planets?
Well, looking at transits.
Transits.
Yeah, so definitely. I mean, and it would be outer planet transits because it would be ones that are not, you know, a day long.
Right.
So, yes.
And that goes against predictive versus not predictive with
right.
the astrology that we're doing. So, yes, sorry,
yeah.
Go ahead.
And so there's somewhat of an element of prediction with it, but it's a combination of the psychology with it, because it's giving a timeline for it of, well, here's when it will start to shift. Here's when, so I have a example that I'm putting in my book of a client whose daughter has just a stellium, huge stellium in Capricorn.
And a stellium,
Jupiter.
Can you just explain to us what a stellium is?
Yeah, so a stellium is when, and there's some debate, but three or four planets in the same sign or same house, right? So same part of the chart.
Right.
And so she also has Jupiter in Capricorn that's not in the stellium, but then she has a Sun, Neptune, Mars, Uranus, all conjunct in Capricorn, and late Capricorn, so it actually pulls in her 4-degree Aquarian Mercury, all in the 10th house.
Hmm.
So very packed 10th house. But in a number of years ago, when Saturn was in Libra, all of that was being hit by Saturn. All that Capricorn was in this square and the daughter was having a really, she was early teens and really, really acting out dangerously so. And her mom was really scared for her daughter, but also really furious because her daughter was climbing, sort of like teenager climbing out the window after curfew. And getting into drugs and just being very, having a lot of reckless, unsafe behavior. And so in working with the mom, I was able to look at the transits and see, okay, yeah, it's really an intense time. Pluto had just entered Capricorn, so it was like, just hadn't even hit this stuff yet. It's actually doing a lot of that now, but it's been pretty positive. But so this square, this 90-degree angle of Saturn and Libra, just she was fighting authority everywhere she encountered it. And I was able to work with her mom and say, okay, this is temporary. This isn't who your daughter is. She's not going to be this person who is forever fighting you and forever not listening and forever being combative. She's actually, wow, what a strong human being this kid is with that I'm not a Capricorn in the 10th house, which she will ultimately accomplish. She's in her early 20s now.
Mm-hmm.
Can be amazing, but it was a time of crisis. And that what she ended up doing, she ended up sending her away to a boarding school that was also a rehab for a year. And the first month, the daughter could have no contact with family or friends. And Saturn is isolation.
Right.
And it was transiting her seventh house. So suddenly, right, with all that stuff in the 10th, it was transiting her seventh, which is partnership. It's our most significant people in our lives. So as when we're young, it can be like our best friends more than romantic partners. And so it was this complete isolation. And yet that was Saturn. It was exactly what was happening. And it was the perfect thing that was needed, because it was issues with that. It was issues with authority. It was issues with her own personal power.
Mm-hmm.
And she regained that. And then she was doing it. And then now she's thriving.
Wow. I'm just thinking, she's got all those planets in Capricorn. Now she's going to have transiting Saturn and Pluto over those planets.
Yeah. And so, I think it has the potential for her to really transform and step into her power.
Yes, and without giving it away, owning it.
Without giving it away this time, because she's gotten she got a handle on how much she'd given it away before. And now she'll be able to be that Capricorn in a really potentially powerful leadership way, even. I mean, it's all the 10th house.
Incredible. In its own natural house. She's been blessed with she's born with blessings this lifetime. So she just has to own that. Absolutely. The interesting thing is, the readings I've been doing lately, it's all about it's been women lately. Usually I have a mix, but it's been women lately, and it's all about them owning their own power. And now you're talking about it with this young woman. So it's quite interesting. And, we're in eclipse season, and I'm hoping that you could also tell us, give us some of your theories or observations about eclipse season as well, and what you've been seeing in your reading.
Oh, eclipses are, they're funny times. the veil gets very thin during eclipses. There's so much that comes in terms of opportunity too, and dissolve. There's sort of things you didn't even think were happening that come in. I mean, the sky in general is so intense right now. This Mars retrograde and the heels of the eclipse, and Mercury goes retrograde in a week and a half.
Don't remind me, because it's on my sun. It's retrograding on my sun.
I've had it square my nodes. The Mars retrograde, I'm sorry, squares my nodes. So then the Mercury actually will go back, because they were in opposition like a week ago.
Okay.
So with eclipses, it is this time where they sort of all feel like Uranian to me. They're this unpredictableness, because there is often that delay, right? Since we just had the solar eclipse, that until we get the full moon in Cancer, that's often when the reveal happens, which is 6 months later.
Right.
That the energy comes in, and then it shifts. Then what it's about, there tends to be a delay with certain things. Eclipses are oftentimes where people transition, where people die and birth. The veil is thinner, so people transition in and out with greater rates, I've seen, with eclipses.
This lunar eclipse as well, you mentioned Uranus forming this square with the eclipse, the lunar eclipse next Friday, and Mars, of course.
And I think it speaks to the volatility of the world right now.
Yes. Yes.
I think that that's part of that. And there's, again, like this unpredictableness, and some of it may have to do with the UK. I've always wondered how much Brexit will really happen, because the vote happened under Mars retrograde, not this current one, but the last one was when they held the Brexit vote. And my first thought was, I don't know, it's going to happen. They held the vote under Mars retrograde.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And because it's now it's being finalized under Mars retrograde, which is fascinating.
Right, the cycle of astrology. And that's what you were sort of saying. It's like people, you know, when they have a reading, they want to know, you know, if they're in a circumstance or a situation, when is it going to end? When is it going to get better?
Yeah.
When are things going to change? And so that's what astrology can do. And that's exactly what you just said with Brexit is, you know, the cycles of astrology. So the vote was Mars retrograde. And now we have another Mars retrograde, and it's going to be finalized.
Yeah. And absolutely, this one, is it going to end? I mean, that's what I find to be so helpful to clients, is being able to with this client, with her daughter, to say, like, this too shall pass. She will get through this. It is going to be like 9 months of it being really, really intense, another year or so. And she'll get through the other side, because, wow, with all that Capricorn, is she tough? Is she a strong being with all of that? And so she had, you know, and so being able to give people that timeline, even if it is a year out, and so, or Pluto transit, right, which could be 5 years, but it's not forever. So when we're in those extended transits, like, okay, well, it's, you know, Moon Pluto transits I've been seeing a lot of, and they're intense. I've had so many clients lately that are Cancer moons, and they're in a Moon Pluto opposition.
Yeah, me too. I know. I really feel for those people. I've been through it myself. I can relate. I know how tough it can be. Because, you know, the mythology of Pluto is lord of the underworld, ruler of hell. So it's like, you know, sometimes you've got to be dragged down, or you've got to hit the bottom before you can bounce back up to the top.
Yeah, and it is, and it's, I haven't had the opposition. I had the square a few years ago, number 9.
Oh.
And, you know, it is. It's everything you've ever buried you've got to deal with, which is not fun, but is potentially very productive if you do the work.
Yeah, that's the key. That's the key, if you do the work.
And so being able to give people a timeline, even when it's going to be another 2 years, and that can actually feel like a relief, because when you're in the middle of those really powerful, intense, all-consuming transits, it can feel like it's going to just be that way for the rest of your life. Can be
absolutely
the experience of the client or the individual. And so being able to say, like, yeah, I know it sucks, it's another 2 years, and it will start lessening, and it'll get easier, and you'll be able to exhale. And I know you wish it was sooner, but it isn't a decade. It isn't forever. It's 2 years, and you're more than halfway through when it's Pluto stuff, right? And it's sort of like, okay, you already made it through 3 years. What's another two?
Yes.
And that this too shall pass, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and that things that happen, the transits we experience astrologically, you know, that there is a gift in them. There is a lesson in them. There is something we can get out of that will benefit us ultimately, even when they're difficult. And in some ways, they're definitely more productive than trines, than the easy aspects, right? Because I wrote an article for an astrologer called The Shadow of Trines. You know, because, you know, you could have a Jupiter, god of expansion, trine Mercury, god of communication. So you find it really easy to talk, but it doesn't mean you have anything of value to say. You talk all the time.
A lot of hot air. Oh, that's interesting. Can you tell me more about that article? Like, what was in there with the trine? Because I have a lot of trines as well, but a lot of squares.
So just looking at those sort of examples and how, you know, trines can be those sort of gifts that we have, those natural innate talents that are sort of always in our back pocket, but we don't,
right.
We have to choose to take advantage of them. We have, I've seen particularly with grand trines, I see that, right? Like, I think of grand trines as sort of, they can be the piano prodigy who never plays. That
okay.
It comes so easily that
right.
There's no drive, right? Squares that tension as much as it can be challenging, we're forced to deal with it. You can't avoid your squares in your chart. There's no getting out of engaging with that energy.
Yes,
but trines we can. Trines we can sort of say, oh, well, that's always available to me. I can do that. And not actively make use of it in the same way. And so I have a couple, and they have their Mercury's trine. And when I worked with them, I said, well, the challenge in your communication is actually because you're so good at communicating, you forget to talk to each other. And so then there's arguments over, oh, you didn't pick up our son at school, or you forgot to do this. Well, they forgot because you didn't tell them. There wasn't the communication. This needs to happen.
Right. Oh, and there we have it. We're at the end of the show. And I'd like to thank Dr. Laura Tad for being on the show tonight. And please go to her website, mythicsky.com. Get her ebook, Stellar Parenting, Enriching the Child, the Parent-Child Relationship. Thank you, Laura, for being on the show.
Thank you, Kelly.
Pleasure.
It was wonderful.
Okay,
yes.
Bye-bye.
Great to connect. Bye.
Bye.